Welcome to Classic Comics Cavalcade. I'm Jason Sachs.
I'm Amir Malakpour.
And today, you can see by the beautiful art behind us, we are discussing Fantastic Four number 49, If This Be Doomsday. You love this issue.
It's so good. I loved it so much. It was so fun.
It's like the perfect Marvel comic. Perfect Marvel superhero comic. It's one of the most Jack Kirby comics we've read. We've read a lot of great Jack Kirby comics on the pod. So I'm really anxious to go through this whole comic with you. Did you see on Tom Brevoort's website, he has a lot of original art pages from there, from the issue?
Oh, wow, no.
That's where I stole my background from. And as we go through the issue, we can talk about that because there's yours. And
Wow.
look how beautiful this looks in Kirby's pencils.
Amazing.
I mean, look at like the way Galactus' face looks and like the angles on the fins on his head and stuff. The three-dimensionality of everything, like the sense of proportion. It's just gorgeous to me. He even draws Reed's hair. Like you could see like so much detail in the way he draws Reed's hair. He's
I
like,
mean, yeah.
go ahead.
No, I'm just saying we're so lucky that he took these images. It makes me sad that this art is lost or if they stole it or whatever.
It's just so gorgeous. I mean, look how Galactus like towers over Ben. I'm going to flip over to the real issue, though. So,
Whoa.
as go
No, I just said, whoa, look at that gaudy color.
ahead. It was Christmas in the Marvel Universe. I keep thinking when he's got that thing hanging down over his arm, too, he's got like KT tape on because my wife uses that for her running. Thankfully, the colors change. Oh my goodness, the cover alone. It's like it was such a perfect Kirby cover. I just adore this work. Oh my God.
I could imagine seeing this cover as a kid, and I may have seen it. And it there's just so much going on there, you know? It's so
Yeah.
good.
It's so simple though, too.
It's simple, but it describes so much because really Galactus is more than just this kaiju monster, right? It's like there's like an entity. They even mentioned in the story where like Galactus can be as big as it wants, you know, and it could be like a, you know, could be gas or it could be, you know, it could turn itself to anything. So it's like this force of nature. It's really cool. And then you got the Silver Surfer and perfect issue, I think. As good as it can get from as for a superhero comic.
I think so. I mean, we're going to talk about 50 next week. 50 is an incredible comic. 49
Oh,
is
really?
pretty freaking amazing. Starts with this just breathtaking splash page, which is just the four right with the city behind them. But the looks on their faces. You know, look at that look on Reed's face. Like he is freaking terrified. And you could see it here in the original too. How beautiful Kirby is, like how much of this really comes from Kirby.
I like how like Sinnott put a lot more beard on it, or unless maybe that doesn't come out.
No, I think he did add beard. I think Kirby was just implying the beard. And then Johnny's face is in shadow there and really in shadow and with Sinnott's inks. You could just see how much Sinnott added to it.
He did. I really like can you go back to the art of the pencils? I really like the way Sinnott made Reed look older too, because in this one actually, here's the interesting thing. I don't know if I look. That's interesting, right? In the comics, Reed is actually looks a lot old, not a lot, but old, much older than Sue does. But in Kirby, as he may have intended, perhaps their age is pretty close to each other.
Yeah, you know, he does draw Reed younger here. Reed looks like mid-20s here. Sue actually looks older than him. Possibly. I didn't think of that.
I kind of like that better. I like them, I mean, modern, you know.
Yeah. But they did that in Ultimate Fantastic Four.
Yeah, yeah.
And like maybe his temples went gray because he's just been through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
See, we all have, I have friends who went gray early.
Yeah. Or just, yeah.
Galactus's costume has changed now in color.
Do we know the background on that? Is there any story as to why they changed? It was just a mistake in the last issue or what?
I think it was mostly just a mistake. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think they really planned it out very much.
Mm-hmm.
And Kirby just drew this. So I'm not sure if Stan Goldberg or whoever colored it just had his own interpretation of things.
That's a great page. Look at that. Like, that's such a, like, if you go back to the original art, it's like, it's as good as any you could find nowadays. It's so good.
And again, like, you can see how Kirby, like, this has the proportions so perfect in here. The Fantastic Four just looks so small. And Galactus has so much detail in his costume and stuff. And the Watcher, too, like, they feel just like they just have so much kind of density to them. So much heft, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And
what's so funny about this page is, like, they can hear Galactus and him, and everybody can hear him talk.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking about that. So he speaks English? The Watcher does too? Of course, the answer is that the Watcher makes it so that you can understand everything.
Oh, maybe that's why. Maybe the Watcher is making everybody hear what Galactus is saying. But maybe he doesn't. He probably shouldn't do that because it might scare the crap out of people.
Hey, Stan, you can send the no prize to me, to my address, by the way, for that answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the confrontation, though, right? And like this flowery language they're using, too, just adds to it.
Mm-hmm.
'Twas you who conspired to hide this paltry world from the eyes of Galactus. It's like so Shakespearean.
Yeah.
It's nice to see Galactus back in purple. You're right.
So can I make a commentary about this issue, why I loved it so much?
Of course.
I was just going to say, this one, it's like, such fun storytelling, and I can't believe how, and I think it's Kirby and then how Kirby juggles three separate storyline in parallel.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, like, I really enjoy, you know, Empire Strikes Back, which of course probably stole a lot from Kirby. Not probably, I think he did. How, like, in that story, how you see, like, multiple storylines. You got, you know, Yoda and Anakin storyline, and then you got Leia and Han's story. This one, you got three stories. You know, you got Alicia and the Silver Surfer. You got Reed, Sue, and the Watcher and Ben against Galactus. I'm sorry, you got Reed, Sue, and Ben against Galactus and his, you know, his minion Punisher. And then you got the Watcher and Johnny trying to get that, you know, ultimate nullifier, whatever they're trying to get to destroy Galactus. So it's like three storylines concurrently. And the strongest one, in my opinion, is Watcher Johnny. Because mm-hmm. it's like the early stages of New Gods, in my opinion, like for Kirby.
You want to skip ahead? You want to skip ahead to that section?
Yeah, and then
there's a little
Alicia and the Silver Surfer speaking. You know, that's the other thing. Alicia showing Silver Surfer that humanity matters.
Yeah,
and then you got this battle between, like, this, like, action-packed battle between Galactus and, like, the three remaining Fantastic Four. And that page that you have up on there,
yeah,
panel three. I wonder if there's an original art for that one, because I really want to see that panel three, panel four.
Yeah, there's Brevoort doesn't have it.
It's so good. Yeah, I don't think he does.
No, he only has up to the appearance of the Punisher thing.
Punisher, yeah.
Because that's so gorgeous, you're right.
I mean, I wonder what the pencils on that look like. You know? And actually with the red color, it looks painful. It looks like Johnny like had to go, like his soul was ripped apart into another dimension. And you can even see a little bit of it in panel five.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then he almost looks like he's torn to pieces in panel five.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I just love this. This is such a great page, especially the bottom four panels are amazing. Like, I would love to see the pencils on those.
Ah, it would be so gorgeous. Well, and the device the Watcher has in panel two, it's like such a Kirby device.
Mm-hmm.
And the look of fear on Johnny's face on panel one. This whole page is just spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love this next page too, where you see Galactus's spaceship.
Yeah, and his planet. I guess there's a planet that he's from too. It's right around the corner.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Kirby tech.
Mm-hmm.
This is such Kirby tech.
It's so cool. And then, you know, Stan comes in and like clean, you know, he kind of explains it, which is good. You know, he's like, hey, you're the only one that can do this. I just love that background where like the Watcher tells Johnny, it's like, you're the only one that can. And he's the youngest one. He's the kid. He's basically us. Because it's supposed to be kids reading this. This is a kids comic book. He's the youngest one saving everybody by like putting his life in danger. And you got like all these celestial, you know, representation of these celestial entities, you know, and the cosmic, what is it? Is it the nullifier, the ultimate nullifier that he gets?
Yeah, the ultimate nullifier. Yeah. Yeah. And like Johnny's never seen anything quite like this. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've had a page quite like this before in Fantastic Four. So it's like mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
When it shows the literal distance he'll go to save the Earth too.
You don't come back from that when your molecules have been separated into another dimension.
If you've ever had that happen to you, you know how painful that can be.
Yeah, it's
emotionally and physically. Yeah, this bottom panel is like, oh, it's just spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're right, because like I'm gonna flip back to the scenes with Alicia. And he's also able to do the really human stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a romance background. Look at that. Look at this Kirby. This guy.
This guy, he was like really talented.
Yeah. He's got the action with you know, Bannon, Reed, and Sue. He's got the romance. Well, I mean, it's kind of romance, right? Romance with Alicia and the Silver Surfer. And then he's got the sci-fi, like cosmic, you know, adventure, like science fiction with the Watcher and Johnny. All at the same time in 20 pages.
All at the same time in 20 pages. It's six panels per page or less.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a masterpiece of everything he's done in his career, right?
Yeah, and you're saying it's going to get better in issue 50?
I think 50 is pretty incredible.
Wow.
But like, I mean, look at stuff like the suit Alicia's wearing here too. It's like a really cool, like late 60s, mid 60s kind of outfit. She's probably pretty fashionable. He takes the time to draw like pots and pans in her kitchen in panel six and the books on her bookshelf. Like, he gives us context and it feels so ordinary and it forces you to think like, what would it be if this strange creature came to my home? What would I do?
Mm-hmm.
And her humanity, like in panel five, how she reaches out to touch him and really connect to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's kids. There's nothing. I cannot pick anything apart on this. Yeah, it was the 60s or whatever, but it's positive. It's hopeful. It's adventurous. It's people who care. It's I love it. What? How old were you when you first read this issue? Do you remember?
I can't remember because I've always, it's always been something I remember reading, but I can't
You were a
remember.
kid.
Yeah, I was a kid. Yeah, I read it in like Marvel, one of the Marvel reprints. And it spoke to me as a kid. I mean, I totally got it as a kid. Because it's so elemental, you know? It's so real. So powerful. I mean, it's probably one of the comics that maybe really want to keep with this, with reading comics. And this is your first time reading it, right? So it's a different experience for you. Like
as an adult, you know, as a middle-aged man.
And you still felt like you had that power and it really affected you as a middle-aged man.
Yeah, I mean, I love the storytelling, the way that they've divided it up. Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah, and that's it too. Like, you know, I talk about storytelling as being the way you arrange the panels. I'm like, look at the bottom tier of panels here. It tells a story. It's like a Will Eisner panel, tier or something. You know, you see it in Alicia's face and the way the surfer is reacting to things. There's like, it ends the page with a catharsis. So if you think of the pages, it's a single unit, right? The surfer has his back to Alicia. He's doing these strange things. He's casting his rays out, where he's destroying the decorations. Alicia's scared. Then she turns to him, starts pounding on his chest, pleading to him. And then you could see him turn to face her in the end. So he goes from his back to her to facing her. And look, then looking away as if like, oh, yeah, actually, I didn't think about what I was doing. I have to serve myself. And you just see this torture in him. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I totally see the romance comics angle from this. Because it feels like it's something, you know, you would have read in a Kirby romance comic. And then we get the superhero stuff. Love the I just Kirby's crowd scenes, you know. I think Brevoort has this one on his page too. Page 12.
Well, that crowd scene is like classic, like,
oh, he doesn't.
Kirby horror.
Oh, here's the original for the scene that we were just looking at.
But the one that you just brought up on the actual page,
yeah,
that's like Kirby horror right there. It's like kaiju monsters or big monster types. So, I mean, there's like four genres in one.
You're right. You're right. It's four genres in one. Wow.
We're just missing the Western.
And, you know, then you could see why the Marvel heroes were so powerful, right? Why people really got them, because they transcended everything.
Well, the combined, I mean, Kirby spending, what, 20 plus years up to this point, honing his craft, understanding storytelling on different types of genres, and then here it all comes together.
Here it comes together in such a magnificent way. You could, and you know, you could see from the originals how much Kirby wrote it, right? This whole section here especially has her dialogue spelled out. So you can see how much Kirby was really creating it in his hands. But Stan really added to it. And
he
you can
did,
see,
yeah.
You could see how much they did. I love this little sequence at the bottom of page 12 and into page 13, where he's like, no one's ever stopped me before. And then Ben's destroying the device and Galactus is like, what are you doing? No one's ever done this. Why are you trying to stop me? And then he's like, oh, whatever. I can just fix this again in a heartbeat. Like, it's just like, you get the sense that like the Fantastic Four are so far above their own heads. And I do remember as a kid, this whole sequence where Ben knocks him off the building and then Reed knocks him, like try to knock him to the ground with a rubber ball, and then Galactus just hovers in space. And I remember like actually like that like totally startled me. because wow, this guy Galactus, he's like impossible to beat.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you could argue and say, hey, in a kid's comic, how come Galactus doesn't just kill him right then and there? And I'll just bring in this thing that's not mentioned, is he probably just thinks that he's like, you know, this is a waste of my, even if I can kill him in 1 second, let me just bring in one of my, you know, somebody from like one of my minions to take care of him. It's below me to even try to kill them.
They're just petty nuisances.
Yeah. And it's like, it's an insult if I have to do it. It's like, I don't want to have to clean my bathroom. I'll just hire somebody to do it. You know, it's kind of like that.
Oh, I love that analogy.
In my case, clean the oven, because I hate cleaning the oven.
I just cleaned my bathroom yesterday. So he's like, yeah, he just waves his finger, calls down this Punisher creature. Not the Punisher we know later, of course.
The first appearance of Punisher. It's not the Spider-Man.
Skip past these pages and like, this little tiny thing, he might be 2.5 feet tall or something. And like, he's overwhelming the FF.
It doesn't even make any sense. Like, why is it little? Why did Kirby choose it to be little? What the hell?
Right. Yeah. Well, do you think it adds to the horror of it that it's so little? It's so destructive.
I don't know. It's cute, but it's kind of funny. Like, I mean, it's a size of like, you know, it's probably like, it's interesting. I wonder if it came up again in other issues and what's the story behind the Punisher.
If I remember right, there's a little story about the Punisher. So I don't think he ever appeared again.
Oh, okay.
But I remember there's a story that there's like they gathered a whole bunch of international artists to do a tribute to Jack Kirby and asked people to draw their favorite character. And Mobius chose the Punisher.
Wow.
And they were like, well, why did you choose this obscure character? And he's like, because it was an amazingly interesting character. Like, I wanted to draw a character like this in my own books because there's this little tiny creature that destroys everything around him.
Wow, I got to look for that Mobius Punisher.
Let's talk about that next week.
Let's do that,
I wanted to bring up one more thing. I know we're running out of our allotted time here. These destruction scenes are so powerful. And you're right. Like, a lot of this comes from the kaiju stories he did, right? And you'd have, you know, the image of Boomba destroying the earth and all this. But like that panel, the 3, 4, and 5 all are like, really feel like primarily like terrifying. Do you feel that same way? Do you feel like they were like really spooky? Did I lose Amir?
Hey, Jason, I think I lost you there.
Oh, we'll have to edit this together. Yeah. Okay. So what did you think of the scenes where we got to see like the horrors of what Galactus was going to bring to the earth? Yeah. I think that's something so powerful.
I love this one and also the next page, but I love that sea where like the fishes, like the fish, like the Dead Sea.
It's super spooky, isn't it?
Next page too, if you go to the next page, that's the spooky part. There's no water on Earth. That's the crazy thing. Like all the water has been drained from Earth.
Ah, it's so scary. I think there's a couple originals from this.
Oh yeah. Oh my God, that looks so good. That's better than the coloring. The coloring ruins it, actually.
Yeah, I think it does.
Because they color it in green, and it should all be like dirt colored, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the destruction here. And then look at the detail Kirby gives to this section. This is why Sinnott is such a perfect inker for Kirby, because he kept all this.
Mm-hmm.
And even accentuated it. Like, God only knows what Vince Coletta would have done with that.
Vince Coletta would have had one fish there.
He would have have drawn the octopus and that's it. Ah, man. It's all so good. Yeah, he kept everything. You can see, kept all the detail and just gave it the right amount of feathering and style to just have it really stand out. So freaking good. And then it ends with the earth nearly on the verge of utter destruction.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
What do you think's going to happen? What's your prediction?
I mean, I kind of know, right? I know the story. I've looked at the issue. I haven't read it in like words. I haven't read the words, but I kind of know what happens. I mean, but I'm interested in seeing the story structure and everything and look at the art more carefully.
Without meaning to, the Silver Surfer himself may be the cause of Earth's total destruction. Well, thanks for doing this, Amir.
Thank you.
For you watchers, join us next week for our mind-staggering conclusion.
Awesome.
Oh, thank you.